T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's hard to keep winning at a high level when you're replacing everybody. And so you got to have those guys, and they looked the part. Now, Curtis, again, he's a different kind of league guard.
Yeah.
He's not super fast. He's not super athletic. But you can tell he's a leader. He's a guy that's played through some stuff. Obviously had the SEC season. What did he get, 12, 13, 14 starts last year?
Yeah.
Playing 18 minutes a game. There's experience and there's good decision-making in there.
Yes.
And so he can be a guy for you that hopefully you can turn it over to next year.
Yep.
Maybe he's not your leading scorer in the way that Doug McDaniel will be.
Right.
But he's a guy that's ready
Absolutely.
To drive the thing.
Yes.
And looks like he'll be ready to do that at times this year.
I think so. I mean,
but he's got to get the shot together.
Look, it's going to be a process with CG3, but I'm not really worried about it. I think he's going to be a really good player for Memphis.
I mean, he shot 10 free throws. Like,
yeah.
that's the thing about him. Because you've been through an SEC schedule, you know how
to
get to the bucket. And it might not look pretty, but you can get to the line.
Yes, exactly.
You know, he's going to be useful for multiple years, hopefully.
The other guy who caught my eye for Memphis was Quante Berry. I just thought he looked like a guy that belonged.
Yeah, I think we've overlooked him for a while, talking about the guy, Hassan Abdul-Hakim and some of these other guys. We've overlooked what Quante Berry can be for them.
Yeah.
Plus, he's played this conference.
And do you have his numbers in front of you?
Yeah, he was 7.6 rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I want from a guy like that.
2 of 8 from the floor, but he got it done, got to the line three times.
Yeah.
0 of 4 from three, some of those hopefully will drop.
Like, Quante Berry is a guy who I think will win a game for Memphis this year. Like, he will do something that leads to a Memphis victory late in the game. Like,
Ended up tied for the team lead in rebounds, him and Sincere Parker.
Like, he plays hard. I mean, that was the biggest thing I would say I noticed about Memphis is that they are active as all hell, and they can really – they rebound the ball. They rebound they all hit the glass. I think that's something that will again, win you games if your shot's not falling. Like, and there will be nights where that does not happen. I liked how much energy this Memphis basketball team plays with, and I think it's a team that Memphis will fall in love with because of its ability to play hard. That's a talent. Playing hard is a talent. And whereas maybe across the board they don't have the sheer basketball on ball talent, I think they will make up for that with their effort. I truly do. I think that was one of the more notable things last night. Now, we talked about the good. I think that is legitimately good. I think there is legitimate good in that. The front court is a major problem. It just is. And they're going to have to work around that all year long. Aaron Bradshaw is just, it is what it is. He's a talent, and I'm sure there's going to be games where, he looks good. And again, we talked about that in the American, but there were just moments in that game last night where, like, dude, he was getting bodied.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get bodied. That's not – we can see it's not – it's never been his M.O. That's been his weakness going back to the days he was on the circuit in a five-star.
Yep.
He'd get pushed around by the bigger guys inside, even shorter but bigger in girth and strength and everything else. He likes to face up.
Yep,
that's what's clear. What I liked was that he was running the floor and he was active.
Right.
Like, almost weirdly so. Like, I'm going to run this thing as fast as I can. And you got that out of the Memphis bigs, but what you need is to sort of be able to control that and harness it. in a way that, yeah, man, it starts to, you know, look like it's a little bit more under control. I can stay on the floor. But he ended up, you know, 8 points, four rebounds, active. He was zero in the plus minus, which ended up being the best for Memphis guys.
Right.
Hopefully in the American, that's going to look good for you.
And it will.
Here's the other thing. Tariq Ingraham played, you know, 5 minutes or whatever it was. Ingraham, yeah. Whatever we're going with it. You're going to need him, it feels like. I don't know if he's in shape enough, and maybe that's why
Didn't you only got like the five minutes.
But he's that – Penny said it when he got it. He's a different kind of big body for them that they're going to need because, again, their bigs are, yeah, long and,
yep,
and all that and tall, but
well,
they can get pushed around.
I do think there are some – like Rob Doster and Jeff Goodman, for example, right, had Arkansas third in their preseason top 25. Mm-hmm. Like, so the, you see the 14, you're like, damn, it's 14. Some people think that that's extremely low for Arkansas. And so I think there's room for – I mean, that team looked great. That team's big. They have experience.
Well,
they have guards.
56-26 in the paint. Like,
right.
You're big.
Exactly.
It didn't even come close. Like,
well,
that, they are a good team. That's what. But how much is that's a good team, and how much is that, man, those front court concerns that we had are real. And we said Ingram's here to save the day, possibly. And last night, you'd only get 5 minutes. So if he can be Dane, similar to Dane, we're going to need to see it.
Well, I do
based
think.
Based on what we saw last night.
I do think. If he's going to say the season, we're going to have to figure out how to say his last name, right? Because I'm
Ingraham, Ingram.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, we did the same thing with Braham.
Yeah,
you know, with Braham.
Yeah,
and it's Braham.
It's Braham.
Yeah,
we got there eventually.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Like, there's no Dane Danger on this team. You know, there's no guy that you're going to be able to, you know, throw. I think even if we get positive contributions from, I mean, Dane was dominant.
Dane was playing at an All-American level,
yes,
at the end of the season.
And that's underrated in college basketball.
That also was not all season. That was a process with him.
It was.
And not that you're going to pull the same thing out,
right,
but the process of we can make this guy better,
right,
and make him what we need with this team.
Yeah, he didn't take off to the American play, really. I mean
that's where he took off. And
yeah,
he got benched first before he
did.
Did.
He lost
the job. That was Penny pulling the best out of him.
Yep.
And we said it had to happen. We said he was a role player in Illinois. Let's see what it didn't happen right at the beginning. And so that's what you're hoping for some of these guys, but particularly him in the front court, is that Penny can pull more out of them.
Yes.
You know. And didn't your guy Roy, doesn't he coach bigs?
NBA? Yeah, we're going to work on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that has been.
We'll put him on the bigs. You know, that'll only help things. Not that we need, but we brought him in. We're going to put him on the bigs.
We did bring him in for that.
That's what he was in college, wasn't it?
But yes.
They were active.
I'll have to get back with you on that. I'll have to watch his highlights.
You don't know anything about Roy's career, I see.
I mean, I don't, man.
Well, it was a long time ago. And he wasn't some great, great. But he was pretty good in SEC, I think.
Yeah. I'll have to kind of work on that as I am working my way through Root, a Memphis Hoops dream.
Yeah.
Which you had him in here over the week on Friday.
I had him here yesterday with Earl Barron and with Courtney Trask.
Yeah, okay.
Because it was all part of the reunion and everything else. And he's releasing the book. So it was twofold. It was a great time. And
Yes,
we caught up with Root. He left you a signed copy of his book. He's a listener. He loves you. He missed you yesterday. He told me, well, he's at the Virginia Tech game. Who? Did he graduate from Memphis or not? I thought he was a Tiger. He just missed homecoming. He left. Had to go to his NASCAR event. I mean, I said he was tapping in. That's what he was doing. He was tapping in. Root understood.
Yeah.
He missed you. We had a good time yesterday. But
how
about this? Only in Memphis can the walk-ons write books.
Very true.
That do well.
Dude.
Only in Memphis are the walk-ons as beloved.
You see what that says, don't you?
What?
What is
best-selling
that?
Author.
Best-selling author.
But whether you have Nathaniel Root, Trey Draper is an author. That's what I'm saying. Do you see the connect? I'm not talking about one. I'm talking about
multiple
walk-ons at Memphis. Beloved walk-ons.
That's amazing.
Before there was Trey Draper, John.
Yes.
There was Root.
Facts.
Folks that were in there.
I remember Root.
Know the sound of that ball going up because he'd get those shots at the end. It's what we prayed for.
Yeah, man.
And before Trey Draper, again, there was Root. There was a beloved walk-on named Root. Read all about it. You can read the book. Go get it at Amazon. Best-selling author.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know if you'll get the personalized like I got, but.
Very special. I'm glad you're looks like you're going to take that home and enjoy it. Don't give it as a gift to someone else because
it's
got your name.
I would not
in.
Do that.
Exactly.
Please don't. It's a very sweet message.
I've learned that lesson. It was a hard lesson.
Well, in fairness to you, yours was not personalized.
But it was given to me.
It was given.
Because of my relationship with Prince.
I don't
so
know
it
that
was.
You have a relationship with Prince.
I do. It's one way.
Yeah.
Whether it's an admiration
or had
it makes
a relationship.
It a true bond.
Have or had, I don't know.
Still do.
So, well, what I would tell people is, and I don't think there was a lot of this, I think actually for the most part, people had a pretty measured response to the game last night. You know, it's an exhibition. We know exhibitions can be deceiving. I mean, Kentucky beat Purdue by double digits. Now, that's a $20 million roster that Kentucky has, but they didn't even have Jalen Lowe or Jaden Quaintance out there.
Yeah.
Are we really saying that Kentucky is going to be 20 points better than Purdue when those guys come back? Absolutely not, right? Purdue is going to be a Final Four team. Mm-hmm. So I think these can be deceiving, and I certainly don't care about the margin, right? Everybody was fouling out. Aaron Bradshaw fouled out. Sincere fouled out. A ton of guys fouled out. I think two things can be true. Arkansas is a legitimate team. Like, they're going to be in the mix all year long to win the SEC and you know, go deep into the tournament, and Memphis is still a tournament team. Like, if Doug McDaniel's out there and Sincere Parker's out there and you're bringing guys like Quante Berry and Julius Thedford off the bench, like, this is a team that, the American does not have anything for this team. They just don't. Like, I'd love to see South Florida try to match what Memphis does, especially with that depth. I thought the depth it's going to be a real weapon for Memphis this year, it feels like, especially because they'll be able to pick up. So, you know, I thought overall, did I love the margin? No, but overall a super positive night. Like we said, man, I mean, I was watching on TV. I got back yesterday late. It looked great on TV, the crowd, you know. It looked pretty damn cool.
You got the bottom fools.
Yeah.
I did.
Exactly.
There was a great energy in there. We'll talk a little more about it and whether or not you can do it as part of a regular season.
Yes.
Home and home. Cal was asked that, whether that ever happens.
Yes.
What this means going forward for St. Jude. Can we make this a regular season deal? Let's take a break and do the rundown.
All right. We'll get back. J&J, 99 FM.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before, T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Yes, man, really scary in the Atlantic Ocean right now. as we speak, Hurricane Melissa has made landfall with Jamaica, New Hope, Jamaica, with winds around 185 miles an hour, making it tied for the strongest Atlantic landfall in world history, recorded world history. 1935 was the last hurricane of this strength than it did on $100 million of damage in 1935. I'll do the quick back of envelope inflation math for you. That comes out to about $2.3 billion in damage in 2025. Jamaica's GDP is only $19 billion. So you're talking about 10% of an entire country's GDP if it does that kind of damage. And it looks like it's headed straight for Montego Bay, which we were there literally around this time a year ago. And Riley absolutely loved Jamaica. She talks about going back to Jamaica all the time. Jamaica, 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 Jamaica. She wants to go back all the time because the people were just so awesome, man. People in Jamaica were so kind and positive, and it's impossible to be in a bad mood in Jamaica, man. Everybody's just so happy. So
well, I got married there.
You got married in Jamaica. Where'd you get married?
We got married in Montego Bay. But yeah. We've been to Ochos Rios and the Grill, and what you said is right, man. The people down there, you're just praying for them because for many of them, there'll be nowhere to go. You know, everybody's saying,
that's right,
get to high ground, or well, what you need to do is get off the island. We've never seen anything like this, quite frankly, like you said, in terms of its size, yeah, what it's bringing to the table. So,
yeah, man.
What it's going to do, I fear, is flatten it in a way that,
exactly,
you know, it's going to be devastating. So, you can't do anything right now but pray for those folks, the folks, yeah, that got out, and the folks that are trapped. They're tourists, obviously, too.
Yeah, there's Americans there, for sure.
Americans down there. Just saw a couple on CNN say their hurricane shelter at the resort is the ballroom, and she was worried about, you know, the capacity of the ballroom's 190, and there are hundreds of people on the resort. She's like, how are we all going to get in there? So they're going through it right now.
Yeah,
so.
Because it just becomes about, you know, your infrastructure is collapsing, you have no internet, you have no way to get out, you have no, I mean, it's just, quite frankly, it's hell on earth, mm-hmm, what those people are experiencing right now, or what they're about to experience. Let's hope and pray for some kind of miracle that this hurricane turns. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy things happen, but right now it looks like it is on a dead path for Montego Bay. So just praying for the strength and the well-being of those people. All right. So we were talking about this Memphis, Arkansas exhibition. Y'all get all that? Yeah. I mean, it sounds like that. Phone home. Mm-hmm. Phone home. If we did, we. No, look, I mean, again, it's like, I love Supreme Bay, all right? Everybody knows that. But he is on a frequency that you cannot understand.
Well, then we've learned that.
You know what I mean?
You know.
And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I appreciate that about him.
You know, spiritually and...
He's the wave guy, John.
It is quite the wave that he is on. It's a pretty high wave, I would say.
Heard that.
But I'm glad that he took the time from... Jupiter to make that, you know, cameo. Didn't I get one from D Rose? Not even a vid, man. Not even a shout out from D Rose on a video, man. I don't want to judge, but you did come back with the Grizzlies. Like, come on, bro. I know he was in Saudi Arabia for a minute over, you know, but somebody could have taken a minute, right? I was disappointed.
Yeah, again, I get it, and I feel what you're saying. I was disappointed as well. I said it, you know, if you could get D Rose and the folks at Allsack were doing everything they could to do that,
right?
And the effort was there. No, it wasn't from a lack of effort.
No, agreed.
You know, Cal reached out.
It was about D Rose.
But I think what showed is that night, and especially for the players standing there, it wasn't about who wasn't there or who didn't do a message. It was about paying homage to Cal,
yeah,
and really the bond, sort of what he built here,
yes,
and those guys helping him do it. Even you know, and you missed it. We didn't get to have you in here, but even with the three guys we had, and
yes,
and Trask and Barron and Nathaniel Root, that was a time they finished it up in 03. They're going out in first round to Arizona State.
Yep.
But if not for those guys and sort of the start of it, keep in mind, John, they were here for Tick Price. They stayed through Johnny. Cal comes. He's not their coach. They're staying.
Right.
He's tough on them. Earl Barron fights it through, and so does Root. Trask, man, this is too tough. But making that tournament that year, you know, that was key, because what,
yes,
Cal was able to build from it,
absolutely,
was, so, you know, goes on to become the CDRs and everything else.
No,
so,
you're 100%
and so,
right.
So for those guys, it didn't matter that there wasn't a message from Derrick Rose, who played long. Not that they didn't feel when Memphis made,
right,
the championship game, just like every other Tiger and every other fan. But for those guys, it was just about being back and all of them getting sort of their moment in the spotlight.
Yes. No,
and that was the great thing.
Exactly. And that's the, yeah, right way. That's where the primary focus should be, is,
yeah,
on the guys that,
yeah,
did come back and, you know, were a part of that. But it's glaring when the biggest players from the most influential team of Cal, none of them were there. Now, one of them, I think two of them had a legitimate like obligation, right? I think Antonio Anderson is coaching now as well.
I think he had a sick child as
okay,
well.
Okay, he had a sick child. Okay.
I heard, yeah.
And then Joey's obviously coaching. And,
you know, if those guys would have made it, they would, especially those two.
But, you know, and again, CDR is currently in a different dimension. So, you know, you got the transmission incoming.
So I mean, but you're kind of, what you're asking for is almost, and not you, all of us kind of, way we're hoping for that, but that's almost a separate 07-08 reunion.
Right. Yeah, and they probably
that,
feel
to
like
your
that
point,
themselves.
Still hasn't taken place necessarily. It may never.
You're right.
You know, now that you've had this chance to kind of make it a part of it, so. But I'm just happy for all the guys, man, because it wasn't just those moments in 07-08. It was that entire time.
No, I think
the build up to it.
My guess would be, I don't know this for a fact, but they probably feel, hey, yes, we were part of all that, but we were our own.
Yes,
we deserve our own thing.
Exactly. I mean, exactly.
We're not going to come back and just be a part of, like, D Rose is not going to come back and just be a part of a bigger thing. He's going to come back and be the
thing. Maybe that's how he feels. But I'm sure those players sort of feel the same way. We're not here just to celebrate 07-08 either. Hey, we played for Cal.
Very true.
We helped build what that became.
That's true. Yeah.
And so for them, they don't need Derrick Rose here. They didn't play
with
him.
Yeah, I agree. You know, agreed.
For it to be successful.
So, you know, my guy Burks was there. You know, everybody got their own.
Look what Burks said. He had already bought a ticket before he even knew there was going to be a players' reunion. Like, that's supporting that program and supporting it. And that's what it's all about. That's what Cal was here selling. And you got a little bit of those feels last night.
Now, in terms of the future, if you were hoping that this would, you know, something like a home-and-home series would come out of all these positive and happy vibes, which is how Cal started his postgame, I think you're going to be disappointed. That was the sense I got. Like, he wouldn't commit to doing a home-and-home.
Of course not.
Doesn't seem like he really wants to.
No, I mean, in the SEC, he doesn't have to. It's the same thing for – it's not – you know, he's different than Rick Barnes in that, sure. I mean, he likes Memphis. He loves the city. He knows how special the program is. Whereas Rick could care, you know, doesn't care. You know, hot damn, you guys fired Tubby Smith and you had Penny and me going back and forth. But that said, it's still the same thing. They got a schedule that's full of ranked opponents right there in the SEC.
Yep.
They don't have to play you. Frankly, they don't need to play you.
Right.
And so I give Penny credit for getting the teams that he has been able to get. You know, Ole Miss and Mississippi State understand that this is a little bit regional, whatever else. Hey, yeah, we'll play you. Seems to be a little – for Arkansas, although I will say I got some of those old feelings back just looking at it, you know, through the television, and Jeff talked about it sitting there and wrote about it. The back and forth, you had a ton of Arkansas fans. Credit to them coming on a Monday night that really actually helped the event, and it benefited St. Jude, obviously. But when they started the Woo Pig Suey, they started the chant. Tiger fans answered back, let's go. And you saw them stand up to answer. And it was that old Arkansas Memphis, man.
Yes, it
coming
was.
Back. And I'm sure Cal felt that. But again, he doesn't, you know, in many ways, man, I just wonder if Cal, the way he left Memphis, right, probation, whatever, the players, he knows how some still feel or some felt. But coming back to sell this for St. Jude, for Memphis, y'all saw he came back and then went all in, did all the shows, everything else, was sort of him saying, hey, here's my payback, right? Like, here's me hitting you guys back, loving you guys back. Let's sell this thing for St. Jude.
Yep.
I'm going to do the right thing here and go all out.
Yeah.
Just in terms of giving them me, right? They're going to get me in town. I'm going to go all over the place with Penny and do everything. And him not looking at it as, I've got to give them a home and home to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So that's what I'm thinking. Cal, man, is like, he's made his peace, you know, with this, with the way he sold the program, Memphis, everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably doesn't feel like, nor should I think we feel like he owes us anything else in the way of a home and home. He's got to think schedule. He's got to think getting to the tournament with the best seed.
Right.
You know, in all due reality, coming to Memphis and losing doesn't help him.
No, it doesn't. You're right. He got the whole thing this weekend. No,
you'd like him to do it like some of these other coaches have and say, well, you know what? A loss to Memphis isn't going to hurt me.
Right.
You know, because that's going to be a good loss if I do lose it. But again, it's still Cal losing to his old school.
It is.
And there's still a great deal of pride there. You heard the fighter when he came on with us.
No doubt.
I mean, it's still there.
Never surrender.
So, yeah, hey, man, you know, I'll play exhibitions one thing. Yeah, and by the way, I got you there in that second. But, you know, doing this for real, yeah. Maybe a neutral.
Yes.
Maybe a neutral. I would have more hope in that.
Yeah, I think you're
than
right.
A home and home.
Yeah, like he at this point in his career, why would he want to subject himself to that? And I think that's all ego. It's not like his whole thing still is about Cal. I don't want to I don't want to lose to Memphis. I don't want, I'm here. I'm not here forever. I'm not going
to
be doing this much longer.
Kentucky. Doesn't have to play Memphis.
That's exactly right. So, yes, I think that is definitely the case. You will not be getting a home-and-home with Arkansas as a result. But that doesn't take away from the night. It was a great night. It was a great event. It was great. The feels, it was all that. It was just everything went off, short of Memphis getting the win. I think everything went off as well as you could have absolutely hoped for.
Yeah, so. I hope if it's good business for St. Jude, that, for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, making this a regular season event. I know that was said they were going to do this for 2 years and then see, what going forward. Maybe not the ticket sales will be, we'd all hope for 10,000 plus in there, especially with the cast of characters that you had. But there was a passion there. Now, a lot of that, again, Arkansas, but, maybe there was enough there last night. Especially that bottom bowl was full. There's a passion there. Looked full in a way that hadn't been very often around here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was enough. That hopefully for St. Jude, if it's again good business for them, they can stick with this and do some for the regular season.
Absolutely.
Grizzlies take the L last night, and I'm telling you what, I'm not too worried about it. 2-2, I think we all would take it at this point. If you said most of us were saying, hey, the goal with Zach Edey out right now for however many games it ends up being, hopefully back by sometime in November, the goal is to tread water or whatever else. That's what you've done, and there's been a lot of good in that. Now, a lot of bad as well, but keep in mind, you're down five key guys right now in terms of your rotation. It's not just Edey. Ty Jerome, Scottie Pippen Jr. out. And so to be 2-2 through this point, and played Golden State really well there in the first half, but Draymond Green's antics, he pulled down Santi Aldama. They give Isolo a tech. Isolo's arguing it should be a flagrant one, which it wasn't called initially. So I liked my guy. I liked the T.I. defending his player the way he did passionately. And frankly, it showed out to be he was right because it got changed to a flagrant one. We talked about it with Jessica Benson. There should be no more excuses. I kind of gave her one to see if she would bite on. Well, John Jaren had been through this with Golden State, but the rest of this roster hadn't. So what, should we be surprised by the way they folded after right. the antics? But you know what? Jaren Jackson Jr. is making more money now than Draymond Green is.
Mm.
And that's just this season. Next year, that 35, Draymond, I think, is making 25, somewhere around there. Jaren goes up to $49 million next year and 50 the year after that. We're talking big boy max, big man dollars. That kind of stuff shouldn't be happening where, the reason Draymond does that stuff to you? Because he knows that he can.
That's exactly
number one,
right.
The refs are going to allow him. But number two, and probably more importantly, he knows the Grizzlies are going to allow him. He knows little brother Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to allow him. He knows that Santi Aldama, frankly. I mean, he ain't got the Spain jersey on. It ain't España. It's the one with the Grizzlies front and emblem on it. That's Santi. He's
yep.
got him, too.
Yep.
And so at some point, you got to grow up out of that. Jessica Benson's absolutely right. There are no excuses, especially for Jaren, who's now making more. There should be no more in year eight, I'm little brother. He's my Michigan State big brother. And even if it's just him going to the basket harder, grabbing those guys together,
because
sometimes, and we are seeing more of it from Ja, but even if it's just that in effort level or whatever else, we need to see a response from Jaren in these games against Draymond.
Yep.
And maybe it'll set fire through the whole team instead of asking somebody or asking Ja to do it every time.
Yep.
He's reached that point in his career now at year eight. And so, yeah, you would have liked to have seen more in that second half because once Draymond went into his theatrics and his antics, we did what we usually do, and they do. Jess is right. They've owned you, particularly out there. It's like there isn't a belief. It's like it's almost like Jaren knows it's going to happen. So,
yep.
Hey, man, you said it's circle of loss we all expected to, but I'm tired of seeing it happen that way.
I agree.
And I think we all should be tired of it. And Jess is right. She straightened me out. There should be no more excuses, particularly for a guy like Jaren Jackson Jr., as highly paid as he is. I have this take on Golden State. We once thought that those young players that they were getting, Wiseman was at the top of that list, but then they go and they get Kuminga, Moses Moody, those guys. We said, well, they don't have time to stop and wait on them. Kerr's doing a bad job. We said it about Wiseman specifically, of involving them, keeping them apart. Last night you saw how Butler and Steph, they don't have to carry it right now during the regular season. Podziemski and those guys I mentioned, Kuminga and Moody, they've now incorporated that youth in a way that can, again, not carry them through the regular season. They won't need that.
Right.
But you're not putting as much on the back of Jimmy which everything was on his back by the time Steph got hurt last year, and on Steph.
Yep.
My point is they've now incorporated that youth, some of these picks. No, not every one of them hit.
Right.
Wiseman was one of those, but they have. You look out there last night, see those double-digit scores, it's all those young guys. Podziemski, Kuminga, and Moses Moody off the bench had 20. Mitson mentioned it, hitting all the threes. And so it is, man. I have underestimated. If there's a team, I probably underestimated going into the season, because I just remember last year, everything's on Jimmy's back. Once Steph is hurt, it's done.
Yep.
They're checked out.
Yep.
But they've got these guys now. Kuminga got re-signed. Maybe there is a place for him to fit in terms of their structure. Never felt like there was. And so you talk about them getting through the regular season, the key, getting Steph and Jimmy through the regular season and to the postseason healthy enough. Man, that youth is really going to take them a long way, not to mention Draymond Green's antics still work against teams like the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, like,
Phoenix next.
Thank God.
Well, you get it. You get two things there. You get a chance to win.
That's right.
And then you get a chance to put Phoenix further down.
I mean, it's like a finals game in terms of the importance.
It's not a finals game, bro. No, because if we lose, we'll spin it some way that says this is not, you know, this season could be two lottery picks this year.
Hold on, man. Hold on. No, we ain't doing that on this
finals
one.
Game against Phoenix?
Game seven.
Is Dylan out there?
Must win. I'm sure he is, yeah.
I thought, yeah, he's shooting poorly, but he was their second leading scorer.
They lost last night to the Tank and Jazz.
Yeah, in overtime.
Yeah, embarrassing.
Jazz trying to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, I mean, the Warriors might be, this might be like their last breath as an NBA champ, right? Like their last gasp at trying to go get it.
Looking like they're going to have some more in the tank, it looks like. Yeah. A lot of people have picked them for the finals, dude.
I mean, it makes sense.
Weirdly, I didn't believe it at first.
Yeah, I mean, I think like if Kuminga is taking a step that I did not think he was capable of taking. I just did not know he was this type. I thought
he had 25-10 last night, 4 assists to go with it.
Yeah, like he's like after this entire summer and offseason arguing about what he gets and all this, like
he's really good last night.
Can this guy be a system player in this system? And it seems like he has adjusted to that and then some.
They were also sitting Horford, I think, last night too, right?
Yeah, no, Horford.
That's what I'm saying. They got Kuminga and Horford to throw at it.
Yeah, they're deep because you drafted Podziemski and he's obviously hit for you. Moody's coming off the bench, giving you double figures. I mean,
Payton's a defensive guy. Buddy Hield's going to hit shots. He only had 5 last night, but he'll have some games where he hits all the threes. They do. They got a nice mix of youth and old guard now that will get them through the regular season in a good enough seed, probably, that the path will be. You know, I'm not picking them. Still like OKC, but they're a problem. Warriors are a problem.
They're an absolute problem. And, you know, again, long season.
Did not expect Kuminga to fit in there like this.
You're going to have ebbs and flows.
That's true.
And
I like this team, though.
You were a huge underdog last night. Like it's
8.5, I think.
Yeah. So it was kind of anticipated. I will say, though, it's like, come on, Jaren. Like, do something, bro. Like, you got to do more. You got, like, you got punked. He got punked by Draymond last night. Like, I'm using the nice word here. It's easy for me to say. I'm in a radio studio. I'm a studio gangster, okay? But it's like, you know, he's out there looking at you in the face and telling you to shut up. And then you do it.
Draymond makes 25.8 this year. Jaren makes 35. Next year, Jaren goes to 49, 50, 52, 53.5. Paid amongst the, you know, the highest of the big boy bigs.
Yeah, that is.
It's insane. Draymond's making less than him now, this year.
Is it?
Because of the renegotiation and extension. So that's all I'm saying. How can you still look at him as big brother? He has come down. He's not the same player. At some point, you got to have, you know, and it felt like Jaren had that sort of moment with AD. Now, it hasn't necessarily won him every matchup going forward, but it felt like he had sort of a step forward moment. It was a dunking on him, whatever, good game. He has not had that moment with Draymond.
Right.
And maybe, I mean, they're not always guarding each other or whatever else, so maybe it's not dunking on him that's going to do it for you.
Yep.
But that maybe it's just standing up to him last night when dude is telling you shut up or whatever else, cursing at you and everything else. Man, just fighting back right there in terms of your want to, you know. Now you're making too much money to justify this. There is no more grow up.
Well,
let's hope he turns into that guy.
Yeah.
You have to show Draymond until you start, like, what, you know, the bully at school, man. It's like your mom always told you. At some point, you're going to have to stand up to him. Otherwise, he's going to keep doing it to you.
Yeah.
He's going to keep taking John's lunch money.
Dude, Jaren is about to graduate high school. All right?
And the problem is,
I don't think he's standing up to the bully, bro.
and the man's 7 foot tall, 200 some pounds. Could beat up anybody in the school if you want to.
Ferdinand the Bull. Are you familiar with that fable?
He was a little soft bull.
Ferdinand the Bull.
Is that what you're calling Jaren?
Well, no. Ferdinand the Bull was a bull.
Right, but he wanted to dance.
I thought it was smell the flowers.
That too. Same thing.
Dude, isn't Jaren like, he wants to smell the flowers. He wants to like make the YouTube videos. He wants to like do the fashion shows. He wants to, you know. That ain't him. He ain't that dude.
Well, he sure didn't want to take any shots last night. Nine shots.
Jaren can't be the enforcer. It's just not who he is.
I wonder if he's pouting a little bit about this offense right now, just because remember when Ja's out and everything last year, so much of it was geared towards him. That's why some of his numbers went up. Just wondering how much of the lower, you know. Nine shots, man. Yeah, it's you and Ja, bro. Y'all got to lead this thing. You can't hide in the back of the bus anymore.
Right. No, I mean, but...
And Draymond's up at the front of the bus screaming at you, and you're not saying anything.
No, that was hard to watch. Like, you know, this is a franchise.
Where is Izzo?
He's
shaking his head. Don't let your older brother talk to you like that.
Yeah, like...
At some point, your dad's going to step
in. This is a franchise that has Zach Randolph and Tony Allen and Matt Barnes and, you know, Steven Adams. I mean, we've had some absolute DOGs the last, you know, decade or more. And it was just like, when I saw Draymond's eyes looking right at Jaren, and I don't know if Jaren was looking down.
Again.
He looked like he was avoiding eye contact. I'm like, oh, my God, bro. We are fortunate that this was not on national television.
That's how Debo did them folks on Friday. You want to look down when he's talking to you like that.
Looking
we
got to
come
bro.
Through that.
He's looking down. And
we
I,
have to.
Jaren's just not that dude. And again, like Draymond is one of one in that way. Jaren's not going to have to prove his manhood every single night on the floor, okay, thankfully. But last night, Draymond pulled his card. He did. And we're gonna have to adjust. We're gonna have to adjust.
It's not just that. It's still the same thing with the referees. Again, with Jaren Jackson, what you end up with is I said it to John. His palms are both face up to the sky because it's always what happened. I don't. Why is this? How are you gonna call that? It's always the I don't know emoji with Jaren Jackson.
Right.
And that's been his approach sort of to these early games this season. It cannot be that anymore. You got the big boy contract, man. That's it. You know, you've got an organization. In a way, sort of chained because of your flaw when it comes to rebounding. The big that they've got to have next to you. You know, that has to be part of the plan. It's not like that with bigs around. Sure, some highly paid bigs are better as four Karl-Anthony Towns with a center next to him. But Karl-Anthony Towns still going to go out there and get you that 12.5, 13 rebounds a game. He did it last year. He's not chained to that guy and depending on that center to do bailout work for him.
Right.
That has to stop. Now, it handcuffs the Grizzlies. It does when you're paying this guy this much money and you're not getting 33 and 15s on some nights. We're not asking for that every night.
Well, don't forget, I mean, Bam.
27 and 12s.
Bam just.
That first quarter.
I mean, it's two out of three games now, and the Pacers don't have a big, right? I mean, I guess they have Pascal Siakam, but he's undersized.
Like, there's no more time. There's no more time to wait.
It is what it is on Jaren. Like you got to surround him with a bigger, tougher five man. Like you know, it just is what it is. I mean, he can be great still within that framework, but when you don't have that, it's going to be exposed, unfortunately, for him. And it was last night. Grizzlies and life will go on, but I mean, we've had this conversation about these fouls before, haven't we?
Oh yeah.
We're like, when Jalen Wells went down, nobody did anything, you know. And I know that was accidental or whatever, but it's like go start something, man. Make sure, because it keeps happening to you. And these teams keep pushing you and pulling your car because they know they can. So, like, you stop making these teams believe they can do that. Like, do you think – how many flagrant – I mean, Mike Conley had the one with his face, right? But, like – Zebo and Mark and Tony, like, you did not see that happen, bro. Like,
but we're already down five guys. Who you want to go out there and be the enforcer?
I mean, we don't have one right now. That's the issue.
Oh, Max, need him.
I don't know if anybody's like, I don't know if there's like a scary like
need him right now.
There usually is always like a scary dude on the you know, like the Pacers have James Johnson. You know, like they put him out there when it's time to like go foul somebody five times.
Well, maybe Charles Bassey can.
Charles Bassey could be that.
knock somebody on their tail.
Charles Bassey absolutely could be that guy. I know he's a 10-day dude, but I think he would do that.
Might have to be an everyday. Might have to cut some of his dead weight.
Cam Spencer is small but mighty. He's crazy. He's like the Joker, you know?
11 points last night.
Yeah. And Jock Landale, all you guys wrote Jock off?
17-6. I'm glad you mentioned him, and that's it.
What do you mean that's it?
He's not enough. He's still not enough.
17-6 going to be more than Edie gives you.
Bro, that game was over.
Bro, here's what's happening. Y'all have not
17-6 is not
going to
be more than Edie gives me on the glass.
Well, it won't be more than, but the problem is that we have mythicized Zach Edie, right? We have made him, the second coming of a combination of Arvydas Sabonis and Yao Ming.
No, I mean, ESPN had him in the top 100. Now, it might be too early, and wherever he was, I mean, with what he's expected to do, you know, you saw enough of it last year, rebounding wise and everything else. Nobody's asking him to come in here and average 20 and 9, 20 and 10. No,
but can he help you defensively?
Can he be Steven Adams?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Exactly. That's fair. I mean,
we're still hoping for that.
As long as that's all it is.
Unfortunately, that, because you have Jaren and you're so locked in with him,
that's right.
You have to have that guy. Now, if you moved off of Jaren,
whoa.
If you had to shake this thing up, you're winning that way can change. You can find a different way to win and think about the flexibility. And that's all I'm saying. We've talked about trading Bane. We talked about trading Ja, and we said how Ja's too box office. Jaren Jackson Jr., who you're committed to as one of the best bigs in the league,
yeah,
but keeps you handcuffed in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. including having to put a dependence on a guy like Edie
yeah.
to hold up.
Yeah.
Think about if you moved off that and found a different way. Now, again, you're talking about Defensive Player of the Year. Hell, but maybe that helps you in terms of moving off of him and making him attractive to other teams
oh, yeah.
who aren't going to try to make him the second best player on their team.
But his contract is...
I know. That's a problem.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been way more tradable, you know, 2 years ago.
Then you convince them that he will be, whether it's a Wizards or somebody like that then.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Here's a problem with Jaren, right? There is a Jaren problem.
Maybe nobody will take this contract now and you look at the numbers.
He's also like, there are playoff risers and then there are not. He is not a playoff riser. Jaren Jackson Jr. is not a playoff riser. When the postseason starts, he gets worse. You know, I mean, that's just the reality. Like, if you look at his numbers, he shoots like 30% from the field. We know what happened last year with Caruso guarding him. Like, that to me like really hurts his value because only a contender would try to get him, right? Yeah. I mean, would a tanking team, I guess maybe a tanking team would try to get him and pay him, but, you know, I don't know. It feels like that would be a contender type
move. I don't know what the plan is because maybe the Hawks decide they have to blow it up.
Yeah.
You know, with all their resources and everything
else.
They've
been disappointing.
Been disappointed. A lot of folks had them going up, and that's the thing. That's why they haven't re-signed Trey. They're going
to
see.
No,
it's true. And maybe that becomes a situation. Maybe those holes open up, but all I'm saying is you know, being this tied to him, and now even more so financially,
yeah.
It handcuffs you a lot of weight. There's a lot of flexibility here to find a guy next to those three.
Yeah.
But if one of your big three is so flawed, you know, Ja's flaw is availability. He's addressing that right now. That's something that can be – Jaren wants to address that.
That's right.
I don't know that this rebounding thing for him,
no,
this standing down, you took 9 shots against Golden State last night. Like, what are you – barely any in the second half? Where's the 1-2? This is year 8. You changed your number.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. You're so tied up that maybe, again.
I do think Jaren has largely avoided criticism, and I think a large reason why is because he wasn't making the money that he's making now, right? Like,
well,
he was on a very fair deal.
It was a team-friendly deal because this is where he does deserve credit. Remember, early on, the injuries were the issue.
Very true, very true.
He did get through that phase.
He did.
That's why you got the team-friendly contract initially.
Correct.
And he played through it. He earned his chance to be next up for the money. The problem is, you don't get the double-double that should come with it.
I totally agree.
Or the fight back
Absolutely.
Last night when Draymond is punking your entire team.
Absolutely.
And I think that needs to come with it.
No, I mean,
for that money.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's
time to have him, to your point, under the microscope.
No, it's time to have a mature and adult conversation about Jaren Jackson Jr. I mean, there's just no two ways around it. And we haven't really had to have it because, again, the money wasn't what it is now. But, you know, you're paying him to be your second best player. You know, and then you have Desmond Bane, who, by the way, are 1-3. I'll just point that out.
The Magic
are 1-3.
Got the Sixers last night in a 45 piece from Maxi.
They're a revelation. Sixers.
Yeah.
Early season surprise, or
Maxi.
Is that real? Maxi and Edgecombe.
And Edgecombe, yes.
Yeah, they're studs.
Yes, I will say though, disappointing start for Orlando, given that they were considered an Eastern Conference contender.
Yeah, they're absolutely all in. You're right, John.
I'm not saying that's Desmond Bane's fault, but he was having a press conference and he said that Paolo is like far and away the best pick and roll guy that he's ever played.
It's
with.
True.
And there was kind of a little shade in there. I don't remember exactly what he said. But
he's never played with a guy like
right.
Paolo that's an equal threat or better
right.
in a pick and roll.
That's what he said.
And it
that's
is, unfortunately, yeah. it's a shot. It is.
Well, Jaren can't set screens.
But Jaren can't do that.
No.
Jaren has never done that, even though he has the tools technically to be able to do it with the outside shot, his ability to attack. Why it hasn't materialized, I think, goes up not just on Jaren, organizationally.
Right.
You need to force that. But... No, in speaking about Paolo, he was praising Paolo. It was different, though. He didn't do it like Ryan Silfield, where you call out, you know, Kirby Smart, another coach. He didn't have to. You know, we knew what he was saying. And unfortunately, it's an indirect shot at Jaren. Just that, you know, it's not, but it's not. It's a reality.
Right.
It's a reality check.
Yeah, he said, it's honestly the first time I've ever been in a pick and roll situation with somebody that's feared more than me or equally as much as me.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think that obviously that's a little bit of shade to Jaren.
I mean, would we say Jaren's a better player than Paolo? We would not. Jaren's got a defense player of the year.
I mean, would we say that Desmond Bane and Jaren are feared equally? I mean, I would hope so. I mean, Desmond Bane, do we consider Desmond Bane, you know, that much better of a player than Jaren?
I mean, he's feared from the three-point line.
Yeah.
I mean, he's feared to pick and roll. I just looked at him more as optionally.
No, it's true.
That other guy can do everything, shoot it, go to the hole, playmaker, whatever
draw
else.
Fouls, I mean, like, we're not going to sit here and argue about Paolo versus Jaren, obviously. I'm just bringing it up to say that, you know, it's time for Jaren to take that next step.
Yep.
And I'm not sure that is going to happen for him. You know, and the problem is that you're paying a lot more for the same or less production.
Yeah, $49 million next year.
You know, that is where this is going to become a problem. And it will become a problem. Make no mistake about it. It will become a problem for the Memphis Grizzlies as they have decisions to make. You know, Ja's extension. You know, these things are coming.
Well, it becomes a real problem when guys like Edie are out. Because you have so much dependence on having a big man next to him. When that big man is out, it's a real problem.
And can
Jaren
step up in that five role. And here's what I'd ask you.
And they've tried over and over having Jaren at that five these years.
If I am dependent upon the availability of the heaviest player in the NBA.
That's why I told you when they drafted him. Yeah. And you're playing one of the fastest paces in the league.
I mean, he's going to miss games. So if I can't sit here and be dependent upon a second year guy to essentially, from a basketball standpoint, babysit my guy
again,
that's making $50 million. I mean, I can't do that. I can't really.
But really, when we talk about flexibility, you're really locked into the way to win. You could say, well, hey, we're trying to find a new way with Bane gone, but you're still stuck because you have to have a big next to Jaren.
Yeah.
So that new way to win has to still include that.
But a specific type of big now.
Absolutely.
Not even just a big, but a very specific kind of big.
That addresses Jaren's weaknesses.
Right.
Yes.
And those guys, by the way.
How many teams are built like that?
How many guys are out there that play like that? There aren't that many Zach Edey's in the world
anymore.
Because
most of the max bigs are walking double-doubles. I looked at it.
Correct.
Even Karl-Anthony Towns, a wee dog.
And their offensive
12 players. 12.5, 13.5 rebounds last year.
There'll be some duplication is the problem, right? Like, the Grizzlies have to have a five-man who can't score, who doesn't want to score, but who can set screens at an elite level and rebound the basketball. How many guys out there fit all of that?
Carl's the closest thing I can compare him to.
Yeah.
Because we've kind of said there are times where he stopped, whatever. And Carl plays better with the center next to him, Mitchell Robinson, or one of those bigs.
Yeah.
The difference is he still goes out and gets you the 12.5, 13.5 rebounds. One of the biggest rebounds
in the league last year. Every game.
And so that's what I'm saying. He's not tied to it. That center, he's not tied to that center in the same way. Sure plays better, likes to face up, not necessarily a screen setter, the way, you know, Jaren's not a screen setter.
Yeah.
He's got to up it to that level.
No, he does. Carl Towns is far better than Jaren, though. Far better.
Like, yeah, but we used to dog him around.
Yeah, no.
We were ahead of a Minnesota team that once had him.
No,
and we were looking at him like he was the joke.
No, I feel like that shift has happened.
Oh, it has. Yeah. It has, unfortunately, because Jaren hasn't grown and developed.
He's like the same guy.
Now, Ja's gotten past because of a lack of availability.
He's played every game this year.
Jaren's gotten past because the man's a lack of development.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, another guy passing Jaren, Evan Mobley.
No question.
Averaged 9 rebounds last year and more blocks, so we can't use the whole.
No question.
It's like you can't. This can't happen anymore.
Yeah. I mean,
not anymore.
I don't really.
Not in this new way if you're going to be the second best player.
I don't know how anybody that's a Grizz fan can be happy with him right now. Like, I mean, I know we have. This is a guy that we basically have never fixed our lips to criticize, but it's like, dude, 16-7, and you're getting dogged out. Like you got to be a dude now. You got to be a star because you're getting star money. But like, you're trying to, like, you know, give us, you know, third option production. Like, nah, man, I just don't think that's going to fly long term. Now, again, you know, it's 4 games into the season. But I also think we have evidence on Jaren in the postseason as well. Like, I think there's just a lot of stuff that I think makes the case against Jaren sort of long term here in terms of the case of making that leap. Like, he's never had a good playoffs. Like, it's just never happened for him. And when the Grizzlies needed him, like, desperately in that game 4 at home, it's like, go be an absolute beast. It was Scottie Pippen Jr. who had 30. It was Santi Aldama who was the second leading scorer. And Jaren, my lasting image is like getting bodied by Caruso on the block.
Well, I mean, now you got this. There is no night, and right now, as this team is currently constructed, where Jaren shouldn't be the first or second in terms of shot taker. Right.
Absolutely.
There, right there. Ja took 23 shots last night.
Yep.
Jaren took 9, right there with the rest of the guy. You're like one of the dudes, one of these other guys, right, in the supporting cast that we're trying to figure out. Santi's got no business taking more shots off the bench than Jaren Jackson Jr. So stop it. This is on Jaren. You know, yeah, maybe there have been some organizational mistakes in how they've handled this. They could have pushed more screen and roll development, whatever else. But this is on him now. He's the one with the big fat bank account.
That's right.
So you got to produce. That's it. There's no more tears. There's no more asking for development. It's time to go.
No more tears to cry, dude. So I guess you will be trading in your Jaren jersey for a.
No, man. We still got him on the wall. Fathead on Chris's wall when he first came in. Yeah, him and Ja, fathead since the beginning of time.
I think fathead status needs to be continuously earned. I think it needs to be.
He wouldn't just take it down. Who?
You got to take it down.
Put Cedric Coward up there now? I don't even know if they're doing Cedric Coward full body fatheads now.
Well, that'll be coming soon.
Based off that one game.
Well, he did have the perfect game.
It was the John Martin game. It was the one to show John, this is what I can do.
That's what I wanted to see. And
I know you needed to see it.
And he showed it to you. Because look,
you're higher on.
Everybody want to go crazy because he had a couple layups and a couple dunks in game one. You know, that's fine. But now he's added. He's finally showing like he is the player that everybody hoped
this
he could be.
This dude has guarded Zion. He has guarded Steph. And yes, he went 6-for-6 in that game from 3.
Yeah.
Like, what else we
now
need?
Now we're cooking.
Well, I mean, that's a high ceiling.
It's 3 and
defensive
D.
Defensive versatility.
You gave me the D.
Elite defensive
and now
versatility.
You give me the 3.
And elite shooting.
Pause. You gave me the D. Pause. But now you give me the 3. So now you give me the 3 and D. Pause. Now I'm a happy man.
I didn't give you anything.
All right. Now you did not. You continue to leave much to be desired in that front. But Cedric Coward is absolutely meeting the mark now. Let's hope it continues.
Man, might have to put him at the 4.
Max.
His toughness.
7-foot wingspan.
Bench the 50 million man.
Yeah. He's just 35 this year, and he's playing like it.
That's right.
I'm going to wait till it gets to 49 before I give it everything. Draymond, keep talking to me.
That's right, man.
Come on, man.
Golly.
Let's respond, Jaren. We love you. You got to respond.
Nice fella.
Get angry.
Nice fella.
Have we ever seen him
go
angry?
Go kick ass.
This is a bottom line business,
maybe,
man.
Somebody's got to talk bad to him or something.
Nice fella.
Like, let me tell you exactly how bad I feel for somebody making $35 million.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.